May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Everyone has a gift from our epistle lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Are you ever envious of people who have certain gifts and abilities that seem to come naturally to them? Are you ever envious? I am. I'll admit it. Maybe this is a rationalization, but I call it a holy envy. That's right. Just turn a sin into a righteous virtue, right? I don't hate or dislike people who have all these gifts, but I do wonder why my Heavenly Father didn't give them to me. My older brother is a pastor in New York, and he is fluent in French, Spanish, German. And I mean, he speaks them with correct accent and grammar. And he also knows a smattering of about a dozen other languages. This year, he's set to read the Bible. Last year, I think it was in German. This year, he's going to read the Bible in Filipino, Tagalog, something like that. Meanwhile, I know a bit of German. But I butcher the language every time I speak it. Right. Then there's music. I've known many of our members who were virtually self-taught. They picked up a guitar or they went to a keyboard, and initially they just went from there. And of course, then maybe they took some lessons or something like that, but they had natural ability. While I spent 3 years as a boy in piano lessons, and as I played, the teacher would say, well, I'm just going to leave for a moment and go back in the back room and fall asleep. I was hopeless. I won't even go there about auto mechanics, technology, and my sports ambitions. Nothing came easy for me. And I asked myself, and I asked God, where are my gifts? Where are mine? But before you join me in bemoaning your lack of gifts, talents, abilities, stand up with me and rejoice. If you have been given the gift that precedes and is preeminent beyond all other gifts. And what would that be? The gift of faith. The gift of faith in the grace that has been given us through Jesus Christ. That is the preeminent gift. Let me put it very simply to you. Do I have the gift of faith? Then I ask you, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose for your justification? It's pretty that simple. Do you believe that? Then you receive the gift. You have the gift of faith, because it is not by your reason or strength or you working to have it. No, it's a gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It's been given to you. You have the gift of faith. By the loving and mercy of our God, that you have that gift. Even if you have no other gifts, no other talents, if you're a complete buffoon, that didn't sound right. You can't do anything. I've had members like that. But you have been given the gift of faith, then you are incredibly rich, tremendously blessed, and you should be filled with gratitude all your life long. Well, God is so generous with us. He doesn't just give us the gift of faith. He also gives us spiritual gifts to go along with that, talents and abilities. Our word from the Lord today says it pretty clearly, doesn't it? Every Christian is given a gift and multiple gifts as well. Every Christian is as unique as a snowflake, as different as a fingerprint. Every Christian has their own set of gifts, talents, and abilities. Later in chapter 12, it equates all the gifts with body parts. Some of you are eyes, some of you are ears, some of you are a belly button, whatever that is, or some are toes. You know. Which part of the body do you not need? You need them all. We tend to create a false hierarchy of spiritual gifts. They are the spotlight gifts. You know what those are? Those are the gifts that you're out front and drawing attention, preaching, teaching, singing, performance gifts of any kind. Those are the spotlight gifts. They grab the attention of others. And then there are servant gifts. And these are not publicly displayed. They're harder to see. They're not so obvious. Such gifts as administration, giving, discernment. They're not spotlight. They don't often get the attention. But they're equally important. In fact, all the gifts are equally important and should be considered blessings from God. God is the one who arranges them just the way he wants them to accomplish his purposes. So what is God doing in giving you certain gifts? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's putting together the ultimate team. The ultimate team. You know, the model many people have for church is much like any secular organization. That is an organization that we join, and then we do what members of any organization do. We attend some meetings. We pay our dues. We may occasionally even read the organization's newsletter. We have one, by the way. Well, that is not the model of the church that the Bible gives us, that God has given us. The model God intends is more like a football team, right? We have a role to play. You're on the field. You're active, you're accountable, and you're significant. Yes, the quarterback is vital, but where would he be if nobody blocked? Some have the gift to run fast. Some are strong. Some can catch. Some can kick. To win, everybody has to play their role. As I've said, the Scriptures model is that people would be joined to Christ's body in the same way that members of a physical body are joined to one another to make up one complete body. The body of Christ, the church, was created and set apart to do the work that Jesus did when he was on this earth. To go where his feet went, to the lost, the poor, the hurting in our world. To teach what Jesus' mouth taught, the truth about the love of God and the danger of sin. To see what Jesus' eyes saw, finding beauty and redemption and grace's effects with a prostitute, a leper, a tax collector. To touch as Jesus touched with gentleness, compassion, and healing. And to stand with courage as Jesus did before Pilate and before the enemies, the Pharisees and the like. And not to flinch as he didn't flinch. God didn't call for a smattering of lone rangers or super saints to do these things. But ordinary Christians who've been joined together in a team. Grace is a team. Church is a great name for us, but it's also a team. So you might ask, well, where do I fit in? What are my gifts? What's my role? Well, Jesus sent a coach. Who would that coach be? The Holy Spirit. He's the coach to help us with these very questions. You've been given gifts. Let me tell you, the coach is nudging you to use them. Let me tell you a story that it's a true life story that I got from another pastor, okay? It's about this young girl, teenager at the time, in the 1930s, all right? She went to a missionary conference, you know, a Christian conference, and she got convicted there. And she was sure that God was calling her to be a missionary. And she not only knew he was calling him to be a missionary, but a missionary in a certain place, in Asia. Well, do you know what was happening in Asia in the 1930s? Missionaries were getting killed. The rise of militant Japan, the precursor to the World War II, you know, this was a tough place. Well, you know how you get convicted at something, and then as the years go by, you let it go, right? You know, maybe that wasn't God speaking to me, right? This girl wasn't like that. She graduated from high school, and she wanted to go to be a missionary. She called a missionary organization, and they explained to her what was required to be a missionary in their organization. And there were three things. Number one, you have to get training in the Bible, in theology. You have to know the Bible. Number two, you had to get cross-cultural training. So you had to go to another place for that. Right? And number three, which would turn out to be one of the hardest requirements, you had to be married. You had to have a husband. Because they weren't sending any single women out to the missionary field. Not anywhere, but especially not Asia. Right? So, at the end of high school, she prayed this prayer. Lord, I take my hands off my life. I give you everything. I don't care about a comfortable life. I don't care about a safe life. I want to serve you with everything I have. And I want to be a missionary to Asia. But there's one thing I need from you. One thing I need you to do for me. Provide me a husband. So she went off to a Bible college. She thought that would be a good thing to do. Requirement number one, learn the Word of God and theology and the rest of it. And she also thought, I'm going to find my husband there. I'm going to find a man, right? After 4 years of Bible college, no husband, no boyfriend, no prospects. She wasn't deterred because then she went to a missionary training center. It would be akin to like a seminary after college. She'd go into a seminary to get her cross-cultural training, right? She went there, and she went there thinking, surely there'll be a man here who also wants to join me in the mission field. Well, no husband, no boyfriend, and no prospects. The night before she was to graduate, she sat in her room, her dorm room, and she was an angry, angry young woman. And she prayed to God, God, I put everything into this. I'm not trained for anything else in life. I have the Bible knowledge. I did the cross-cultural training. And I only asked you for one thing, God, and you didn't give it to me. I have no husband. It was that time in her life when she let it all out at her anger at God. It also turned out to be the moment that she heard really God speak to her in her spirit. It was a serendipitous, eye-opening moment that she realized she really hadn't taken her hands off of her own life. She had been dictating to God. She was going to be a missionary and she was going to go to Asia. That wasn't God's plan for her life. Here's the thing about our gifts. We don't dictate to God. God has something much better for her in store for this woman. Spirit will help you discover your role on the team. It will help you discover your gifts. How does he do that? He uses other Christians to point them out. You know, you're pretty good at this. He uses other Christians to call you to use your gifts. He adjusts your experiences and your life happenings so that you get smack dab right in front of what, yes, this is what I was supposed to do. And you find out that those little seemingly insignificant things that you're doing right now are important, and you were gifted to do them. I've come to realize over the years that I have three main gifts: teaching, exhortations, that is, encouraging people, and leadership. What I'm doing now is not a gift that I've been given. Preaching, I'm talking about. I've had to work hard at it, really hard at it. And you can go and tell me, well, you do okay with sermons, you know, the proverbial good sermon, Pastor. But I know where I've been, and I've had to work really hard at it. You'll do many things that you're not gifted for. You may not be gifted to be a parent, but if you are a parent, you better work on it, right? Because God placed you in that role even though he didn't give you gifts for it. You know, in the Bible, it seems like there's 19 spiritual gifts designated. You heard some of them here, 19 gifts. And there was one time in my life, I thought that's all the spiritual gifts that God gave. How ridiculous was that? You know? What spiritual gifts are given that you may build up the church? Can you do that with auto mechanics? Yes, you can. You can build up the church through with auto mechanics because you can serve other people with that. Can you do it? I think we were just laughing at it. Can you do it through winemaking? Yes, you can do it through winemaking. Just be careful who you give the wine to. Right? You can do that. Can you do it through sports? Ask Tim Tebow about that. Has he been led to many people because he was good at sports? Absolutely. There are a lot of things that you can do. You're doing some of those right now. What a shame. What a shame for us as a church, and what a shame for you if God has given you a gift and you're not using it. Let me tell you another story. It comes from Catherine Elliott, a very important Christian woman of the past. And she writes that when she was 10 years old, that she was with her grandma, and her grandmother had received this gift of a perfume bottle with perfume in it, of course. And it was a pottery bottle with a very slender green pottery, slender green neck and a square bottom. And Catherine Elliott says she was fascinated by this bottle. Fascinated by it. It looked like something from ancient times, you know. It was a beautiful bottle. It was perfume in it. And she begged her grandmother, let's open it and put some perfume on ourselves and enjoy this bottle. And this is what her grandmother said: no, let's save this for later. Well, it would be much later, actually. She was 10 when that happened. 23 years later, her grandmother gave her the bottle of perfume, still unopened. And she gave it to Catherine and said, let's see how long you can hold on to this without opening it. Well, a couple of years later, she handled the bottle of perfume and shook it and was shocked. It was empty. She soon realized why it was empty, because as she looked at the bottom, it was unglazed. And the perfume had evaporated through that porous clay bottle. You know what the message is, don't you? Can you see it without me telling you? If God's given you a gift, for heaven's sakes, use it. And if you don't know what the gift is, it's time for you to try out some things, to risk, to say, I think I might have this gift. Christians go all through their lives and say, I wonder what my gifts are. I almost want to say, shame on you. You haven't tried something. You haven't risked something. Maybe even embarrassment. No. I said my gift wasn't preaching. And I think it goes back to my college speech class where I thought, this is easy. I was kind of a card. You know that word? You know, I was kind of a card, a jokester and stuff like that. And I went to take this speech class because I said, this is going to be the easiest class I ever had, right? And I get up to give my first speech. It was the most embarrassing time of my college life because I stuttered, my face got red. The pretty girl in the first row was looking at me and snickering, snickering, you know, because I blew it, right? And I realized, whoa, this is not my gift, you know. But obviously the Lord called me in the ministry and I wanted to do this, right? You need to find out what your gift is and you need to start using it. Don't be like that bottle of perfume that's never used. Oh, that would be terrible. That would be terrible. You are a gifted people. Look around you and you'll see people who will tell you what your gift is, right? And I know a lot of you, and I know some of your gifts. I know a lot of you, but I don't know all of you. But there are people who do know you. Hear the coach whisper, okay, here's your role. Go out into the flat and catch that ball, right? Or, you know what? You were supposed to be a male cheerleader, right? Right? Anyway, may we use our gifts to the glory of God, in His name and to His glory. Amen? Amen? Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.